Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, my name is Jordan McClain, and I am here to let you know that the following podcast is scheduled for one fall. Episode 10, we back at it again. Episode 10, we back at it again. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for tuning into the show this week. I still can't believe I have a podcast that y'all listen to. I still can't believe it. It floors me. I say it every week. I'm so humbled by your support. Thank you so much for listening to me. You could be listening to anybody right now, but you chose to listen to me, and that is not lost on me. That means the absolute world to me. I can't thank y'all enough for helping me live my dreams, man. And this week, I wanted to talk to y'all just for a pair of seconds about really owning who you are. I have been in and out of the entertainment business for the better part of, I'll say, 12 years. A lot of people don't know that, but I've had a lot of lives before this podcast came along. And one thing that has been consistent across the board is knowing who you are. I don't know if I've mentioned it on this show before, but I know from experience of being in the entertainment business, this business has a way of molding you into something that you never thought you would be if you don't already know who you are. And professional wrestling is no different. I've seen people come into this business as a complete rookie, a complete newbie, and they've gotten a little bit of success and it has gone straight to their heads. And I don't think that those people are that way. I genuinely believe that the business made them that way. And it's because they had no idea who they were as a person before they got into a business where people are always critiquing and always picking at you. So this week, I just want to tell y'all, man, own who you are. Whoever that is, own who you are and understand who you are as a person, so that if and when the time comes where your integrity could be jeopardized, you know better than to do that. You may get asked to do stuff in this business that you don't want to do, especially in the wrestling business where damn near anything is on the table as far as gimmicks or, you know, match types or anything of the nature. If you guys are uncomfortable doing something, then damn it, don't do it. Just don't do it. Don't let anybody bully you or, you know, trick you into doing anything that you are uncomfortable doing. I can't tell y'all the story where the message comes from because it's not my story to tell, but, you know, we've heard a lot of things over the past year, especially 2020, where people were put into positions that they did not want to be in for the sake of keeping a booking or, you know, getting to the next level, whatever it was that was promised to them. You have to know who you are. You have to know who you are, know what you will and will not stand for. And when someone comes to you and tries to shake that, tries to make you think that maybe you are not that person, stand firm in that. Will the road be harder for you because you won't accept just any old thing? Probably. The road may be harder, but the end game becomes that much sweeter. The destination becomes that much sweeter once you finally get there, because you know you did not have to change who you were. You didn't have to switch up. You didn't have to be phony. You didn't have to take a booking that you really didn't want to take. You didn't have to accept something that you knew in your spirit was totally wrong just to say that you made it. It gets hard because there are plenty of people out here who are willing to compromise who they are. Don't be one of those people, because I can tell you one thing for sure and two things for certain. The people who compromise never last. You don't even remember their names 5 years from now, but the people who stand strong are the ones who build the legacy. Stand strong, know your worth, keep working, and I promise you, you will get further than even you could have ever imagined. It's worth it. It's worth it. Next up, we're talking Championship Wrestling, episode 92, available right now on YouTube. Another show I haven't talked about in a minute, so I'm glad to be back on it. Let's jump into the review. We start the show with a United World Tag Team title match. The champions, the Bodega, take on 4 minutes of Heat. I've talked about 4 minutes of Heat before, but this is my first time seeing the Bodega after hearing about them a little bit, like on Twitter and whatnot. And I really liked what I saw. Their presence and attitude is on point with Danny Limelight being the more cocky, flashy wrestler and Papo Esco being the strength and toughness of the team. The two work well together, and you can pretty easily tell why they are tag team champions just from this match alone. 4 minutes of Heat showcased some beautiful tag team wrestling by working Danny Limelight's arm, frequently tagging each other and keeping the ring cut off from Papo Esco, who they had just had problems with in the very beginning of this match. 4 minutes of Heat got a beautiful tag team move on Papo Esco, and they showed a great heart throughout this match. I really like that they had that style of wrestling. You know, a lot of tag teams don't think about those small things. Just, you know, keeping the ring cut off. Let's work this one part of the body. You know, so many teams these days go for the pop, and there's nothing wrong with that. But it was good to see 4 minutes of Heat actually work a body part, frequent tags, and keep Danny Limelight cut off from Papo Esco. And, you know, be in control for a good part of this match. They showed great heart, like I said, but the Bodega ended up outsmarting them to retain the tag team titles. I like the Bodega. I really, really do. They're gritty and they're grimy. Their styles really work well together, and they have a unique presence about them. I can genuinely say I don't think I've ever seen a team quite like the Bodega in professional wrestling. So I'm going to have to keep my eyes peeled for them, because I can see them going pretty far, pretty fast. I don't know what their story is. I obviously am going to have to do my research. Y'all know how I do. But yeah, I'm going to have to keep an eye out for them and pay attention to whatever it is that the Bodega has going on in Championship Wrestling. Next up, we've got EJ Sparks taking on Will Alday for the Reality of Wrestling Texas Championship. Let me go ahead and say this, get this out the way. I did not know that Will Alday was on this show when I decided to talk about it or Reality of Wrestling. I did not plan to talk about both at the same time. Because of this, it just kind of worked out very beautifully that way. So this match unofficially started with Will Alday taking out EJ Sparks before the bell even rang, but EJ Sparks did get in the ring, so we ended up getting a full match. Will Alday's strikes were absolutely wicked in the opening portion of this match, and I really loved it. A lot of people don't follow through when they throw kicks. A lot of people just, you can tell that they kind of stop the kick early, I guess, for impact's sake. But Will Alday landed his early strikes really hard and really precise, and he followed through on them, which I really loved. It was actually it was kind of a showcase in striking, if we're going to be honest about it. EJ Sparks did show some spark in his comeback attempt, but Will Alday pretty much had things all the way in control from start to finish. Like I said, he got that moment before the match, so he pretty much had it all in the bag. But we ended up getting some foolery with the finish of this match, which causes the match to end officially in a no contest. That was great. I think that was a great, unique finish that could really build up a good program between these two. I can't tell you the last time I saw a no contest finish. Like, just straight up, no, we're gonna have to come back to it at some point in time. They don't happen often. So when they do, you got to take notice of it. I think that that's a good thing. I want to see a rematch between these two because I believe EJ Sparks, although I have not seen a lot of him, I'm going to have to go seek out some of his matches. I think him and Will Alday probably can put on a match that I would absolutely love because I know what Will Alday can do. So I'm excited and I really want a rematch out of these two. Next up, we've got the Joe Schmo Memorial Gimmick Battle Royal. There was nothing technical about this match, so there's no reason for me to really get deep into it. But I will say this. I recognize the hobo. One of the contestants in this match, he goes as the hobo. I remember him from a few years back, actually. I used to watch AfterBuzz TV, where the hobo was a co-host for some of their wrestling shows with Johnny LaQuasto, who I believe is still currently signed with WWE, and Kathy Kelly, who left WWE recently. Nothing major. It was just fun for me to see him. I popped a little bit because I recognized him as soon as he came out, knew who he was. There wasn't really anything to that. I was excited to see him. But the winner of the Battle Royal is James Main Event Morgan. So finally, very quick show we've got. Four matches. Very quick show. So finally, we come down to our main event of the show, which is Rey Rosas taking on SoCal Distancing in an all-out war. This was billed as an all-out war. Before we get this match started, Rey Rosas, I really hope I'm pronouncing his name correctly. Somebody correct me if I'm not. Rey Rosas calls out for help from the one person who is not of this earth. He calls in Kevin Martinson for backup, and we officially have a 2-on-3 handicap war. Again, there's not a whole lot to say about this match. There was nothing really technical about it per se. There's nothing to break down. It was straight up insanity from start to finish, from the beginning to the end. And instead of me trying to analyze a controlled car crash, I think you guys should just go see it for yourselves. It's episode, what did I say, 92? Just go watch it. Go watch the main event, Championship Wrestling, episode 92. It's available right now on their YouTube. After the match, it really lived up to its name. It really did. And after the match, Rey Rosas and Kevin Martinson end up picking up the win to cap off this part two of the 500th episode of Championship Wrestling. So this is actually a big episode for them. All in all, it was a fantastic show. I'm gonna have to go back and watch part one, but this was a great standalone show as far as I'm concerned. It was a great way, I think, to cap off a 500th episode. What better way than to have a gimmick battle royal and an all-out war as your main event? So, big shout out to Championship Wrestling, man, for 500 episodes. Not a lot of people get there. You know what I mean? Pro South just had theirs last year, almost a year ago. They had their 500th episode. Now Championship Wrestling has their 500th episode. It's a big milestone that not a lot of people get to. So big shout out to them for a great show, man. And that'll wrap it up. Now let's talk about Reality of Wrestling episode 296. It's been a minute since I've talked about ROW, so I'm glad to be back on it and I won't waste anybody's time. Let's jump into the review. First up, we've got Rudy Garza representing the Renegades of Wrestling taking on champion Edge Stone for the ROW TV Championship. This match started mostly in Edge's control. He showcased his signature strength early on until Rudy Garza turned things around. I've said it before, I'll say it again for reiteration purposes. Edge Stone is close to perfection when it comes to a professional wrestler. He's got the size, the look, and the ability to be a world champion on any level in any company. I'm not sure if he's gotten looks from major companies. It wouldn't surprise me if he has. But I don't see how he is not signed anywhere yet. If I personally were in the business of exclusive contracts, Edge Stone would easily be one of my first signees. In this matchup, Edge Stone ended up retaining after a very decisive victory. Great way to begin the show and a great way to showcase Edge Stone. Next up, we've got the franchise, Mysterious Q taking on Brian Keith. Before I get into this matchup, I wanted to actually take a second to compliment Brad Gilmore, who held down commentary on his own throughout this show, and I think he did a fantastic job. In the beginning of this match, he talked about not only the legacy of these two competitors against each other, but also the legacy of television championships, pointing out that Booker T, when he ended as a tag team wrestler in Harlem Heat, the first singles championship that he won was a television championship. He done an excellent job of making this match and the title matter on commentary, and I wanted to shout him out and I wanted to compliment him for his absolutely fantastic work. So everything that I said about Edge Stone, apply that same pressure to Mysterious Q. He has a fantastic look. He has charisma oozing out of his ears. He's a perfect mixture of size and speed. Again, why some of these guys and girls under Booker T have not been signed to major contracts yet, I do not know. But I would be throwing money at a lot of people who have trained up under Booker T, Edge Stone, and now Mysterious Q being two of those people. This was a fantastic display of two ring veterans going against each other. As I said, these two dudes have history in the ring, and I think it was on full display for much of this match. Generally, both men had answers for one another and knew just what the other was going to do and knew how to push each other to their limit. I think that that's something that was displayed beautifully in this match and does not get a lot of credit in professional wrestling, when two wrestlers who know each other well end up pushing each other's buttons. I think that's very subtle storytelling that we don't get to see a lot of. They hit each other hard, they hit each other often, and neither of them back down from one another. It was a very fantastic match. Mysterious Q picks up the win in this match and moves on to the year-end show, the anniversary show, so to speak, for Reality of Wrestling Christmas Chaos. Next up, Zach Mason takes on Brendan Steen. This is another one of those matches that I talk about loving, where both competitors are evenly yoked and matched up very well, with no one having a clear-cut advantage over the other. Brendan Steen gives me a big-time ass-kicker vibes, and I'm still here for it. He has this ass-kicker vibe to him, but he was still very crisp and very clean. Zach Mason, an absolute young stud who has a ton of upside that I think he showcased very well in this matchup. I'm ready to see Zach Mason have that breakout, I'm here and I ain't leaving type of moment when it comes to independent wrestling. I'm ready to see him sort of command his respect. He picked up the win in this matchup, and he moves on to the Fatal 4-Way for the TV Championship. And hopefully, that show, Christmas Chaos, was the moment that I'm speaking about. Next up, our main event, Geno Medina taking on Steven Wolf for the final spot in the TV Championship Fatal 4-Way. This is also, coincidentally, Steven Wolf's debut in ROW. What a way to kick off your ROW career in the main event and possibly moving on to a title match at the anniversary show. This match began very technical, with both men going hold for hold, move for move. Wolf showed some killer acrobatics and hit Geno Medina very hard with some rush strikes. Geno does what he does. He's a fantastic wrestler. And there's a reason why Brad Gilmore called Geno Booker T's prize pupil. I think that every time Geno gets in the ring, whether it be in ROW or anywhere else, he truly does showcase that second generation flair, that real knowledge and blood for the business. Geno does perfectly with that. These two together were like jelly on a biscuit. It made sense. They go together. They go together, as far as I'm concerned. This match was intense, and although it had the same implications as all of the other matches, this match felt more high stakes than those matches. It felt like both men wanted that placement on top of wanting to prove something with just their mere presence. Like I said, Wolf was debuting, and Geno Medina hasn't been on top in ROW, to my knowledge, in recent months. So it felt like he had something to prove yet again. Geno Medina actually picked up the win and moves on. So now the stage is set for Christmas Chaos, which has already happened. I didn't see any results for it. I don't know if that was by design or if I just wasn't looking hard enough to be able to tell you guys who won that Fatal 4-Way. But we have champion Edge Stone defending his television title against Mysterious Q, Zach Mason, and Geno Medina. Much like I do with Pro South and with any other company, I wanted to take a moment and acknowledge that every competitor in this match is a competitor of color. Three black men, one Hispanic man, fighting for a championship. You love to see that natural, realistic diversity and inclusion in professional wrestling. Big shout out to ROW for that. Big shout out to ROW for a successful 15 years and another great episode of The Reality of Wrestling. What's up, guys? Thank you so much for checking out the podcast. If you like what you are hearing right now, be sure to subscribe and follow the podcast wherever you're listening. Anchor, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and any number of other podcast apps. Wherever you're listening to this right now, be sure to subscribe so you don't miss any new episodes. Also, follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Mr. Jordan McClain to keep the conversation going. Let's get back to the show. Let's talk about Pro South. This is their first show of the year entitled Fuck It, We Ain't Playing. The perfect name as far as I'm concerned. This show featured six, count them, six title matches, including three from other promotions. So it was a mega show. Affectionately, I called it Pro South Night of Champions. Let's not waste any time and get right into it. We kick this joint off with a triple threat match for the All Out Championship. Champion Brandon Watley takes on Shane Mako and Hold My Beer Hansen. This match was really exciting on paper, as these three men are all pretty exciting separately for me. So I was pretty hyped to see them in a match together. Outside of a few moments, the early part of this match was solidly in favor of the champion Brandon Watley. There was some moments in this match, like I said, where the other men got good offense in. Mako pulled off a double pickup line, as he called it, against his opponents. Not long after that, Hansen got a really pretty spine buster in on Mako. It was to no avail, though, as the champion got the big win to retain the All Out Championship. I'm telling y'all, Brandon's aggression has really picked things up for him. He seems to be a lot cleaner and more precise in his motion. Although, technically, they have begun the year with an unfortunate loss, I see nothing but upside to both Mako and Hansen, and I look forward to both of them having breakout years in 2021, especially with Pro South. Next up, we've got the New Era Open Championship being defended by Tricky Ricky Cagle as he takes on former All Out champion Cameron Keast. Now, something of note that I want to put out there is Cameron's confidence seems to have really catapulted, and I'm glad about that. I really am. He's a great wrestler, and his in-ring presence seems to be better. So shout out to him. I'm really excited to see that he seems to have a mojo, seems to have a little bit of swagger about him. The match started out very firmly in Cagle's favor. Any movement Keast had, Cagle had an answer for it. I don't think I've spoken about him at length on this show, but I like Ricky Cagle a lot. He has a real old school vibe, but somehow he makes it feel very fresh and new. And it's something that, in particular, is something that not a lot of veterans can accomplish easily. Cameron fared very well in this match. He ended up getting in some good offense, like a schoolboy into the ropes, and he held a nice submission on Cagle for a good little bit. By no means was this a bad showing for Cameron Keast at all, but Ricky Cagle ended up retaining in the end of the match, which officially puts Cameron in a losing streak. I'm very interested to see what comes of him in these next few weeks at Pro South. Next up, we've got my guy, Trevor Eon, taking on Sunny Days in a monster versus monster matchup. This was not advertised as monster versus monster. That's just what I'm calling it. This match was one that I was really excited to see because these two performers are two of my favorite, I guess for lack of a better phrase, alternative performers. Here's a full circle fun fact. Apparently, according to Shane Knowles on commentary, Sunny Days' first professional match in wrestling was against Trevor Eon. That's pretty lit. And it makes me realize Trevor has been doing this a lot longer than I think he's been doing this. I know he's been doing it for a long time, but, you know, sometimes the years and the days and the knowledge just kind of run together. So, I tend to forget that some guys, especially when they look as young as Trevor does, I tend to forget that they've been doing it for so long. This was definitely one of the more fun matches that I've seen Trevor have. I put it right on par with his match against Sin Bodhi from Wicked Havoc. A lot of the time we see Trevor in firm control of his matchups. They're usually pretty one-sided, but that wasn't the case in this one. Sunny was right on par with the crazy and right on par with the aggression. Trevor gets the win in this match, surprisingly by submission. I don't think I've ever seen Trevor win by submission, especially with the hold that he won with. It was very solid, very decisive victory for Trevor, who's definitely set up to do some big, big things in this new year. And a great debut from Sunny, who's set up to have some serious bangers over in Southern Honor Wrestling. Next up for the Anarchy Wrestling TV title, the challenger Reynolds takes on the champion Tyler Colpret. I didn't realize how much I would like this match. Two very cerebral men. I love the thought of two men known for playing mind games going up against one another. So I didn't realize it until I seen them standing across from each other. this was going to be a really, really good match. Opening up, the fans were very solidly behind Reynolds. I don't know if they love him or hate Culprett that much, but they were pretty loud to begin this matchup. We got to see some innovative and great offense from both men. Reynolds got a super clean spear on Culprett, but this matchup ends in a disqualification. I really like this showing from Reynolds. I think this was the most offense we've seen out of him since his debut at Pro South. Tyler Culprett retained, and I think we might have seen a new level of viciousness from him and from Attempted Murder. It felt like this trio hit a new level of sadistic on this show. Fam, this trio might be the trio to keep your eye on in Pro South. If this is what we can expect, everybody on the roster should be on notice when it comes to Tyler Culprett and Attempted Murder. Now we're coming out of intermission. We've got the glass ceiling in an open challenge for the Pro South Tag Team Championships. The team accepting the challenge is none other than J2 Strong and Proc the Croc Johnson, better known as Southern Strong Style. I won't lie, I popped when them boys came out. I did. I've said on this show before, these two guys are great together. I love watching them wrestle. So seeing them get this shot against the glass ceiling had me really, really excited. Not just for the match, but for them in particular. I don't know if it was because of Ace and Damian Serotonin, but the crowd was way hot for this match. Southern Strong Style really held their own in the beginning very well against the glass ceiling. J2 Strong showed some great charisma with his version of a shake, rattle, and roll. Proc got in a big-time spine buster on Ace as well, but the glass ceiling showed some straight-up veteran instincts and had an answer for the quick come-up of Southern Strong Style. Once again, I will say this match was hot. This match was hotter than fish grease in my grandmama's kitchen, man. Every competitor was on their A game. This match even got some This Is Awesome chants, which it absolutely deserved. J2 Strong pulled off a double rock bottom on the glass ceiling, but ultimately the glass ceiling retained their titles in what so far up to this point had to have been match of the night. We've also got some new opponents for the glass ceiling. I'm not going to tell y'all who. Y'all just got to go watch the show to see what the fuck is going on. Next up, Southern Honor Wrestling Champion David Ali defends the belt against the Ghost, Eric Silva. Now, this was a match that I was really excited for. These two are a couple of my favorite wrestlers on the scene today. And this was 100% my favorite kind of match. Both men were equally matched. Both came in looking fantastic, looking strong. And the match began very technical before turning real gritty, real fast. Eric Silva looked to be approaching this match like he had something to prove. He showed a little bit more aggression against Ali, possibly because it was a title match. So it had big implications across a couple of promotions in a couple of different states. Let me say this. These motherfuckers hit each other hard. Their lariats were strong. Ali had a beautifully placed European uppercut and then hit a huge power slam. Silva hit a big time exploder suplex into the turnbuckle. It was nothing but straight bars the entire match. Back and forth, hard hitting, and fucking amazing. I loved watching these two go against each other. And it made me want to see them in a full program. So if you're out there and you're listening to your boy, I'm going to tell you an easy way to get your money up. Eric Silva versus David Ali in a full storyline. Book it, Dano. In our next match, we get Roma Miller taking on Chris Crunk. This was This was the only match that felt out of place, but that was only because there was no title on the line. As a standalone match, it was really damn good. I don't remember if I've spoken about him on the show at length, but Roman Miller is a fantastic heel. Not only is he talented in the ring, but he's got a presence about him that makes you want to hate him. He walks and talks like that dude in high school who talked all the shit, but somehow nobody thought to whoop his ass. He's also got a shit-eating grin. It's almost like the Grinch. I would compare his grin to the Grinch. Now, here's the thing. I say all that, and one would think that I hate Roman Miller. It's the exact opposite. I think that his presence and that cheap-ass smile alone has the ability to get Roman Miller very far for a long time in this business. I believe this is also the first time I've talked about Chris Crunk on the show. I've been a fan of his for a little while because he's a very clean and crisp wrestler. I've mentioned before about some matches being able to cause you to kind of lose yourself. Chris Crunk was a part of one of those matches for me a couple of years ago. I won't get into it right this second, but Chris Crunk was definitely a part of one of those matches that did that for me. After some great striking back and forth, Roma comes up with the surprise victory over Chris Crunk, to everybody's surprise. And he begins the year with a really big win. Shane Knowles on commentary said that it's possible this is the biggest win of Roma Miller's career, so there you go. That stands for something. Now we get to our main event. Ben Buchanan taking on the Pro South Heavyweight Champion in Austin Towers. Let me say this before I get off into actually talking about this particular match. I did not realize Ben Buchanan was as big as he is. I want to say I've seen him in person before, but it didn't dawn on me just how solid that kid was built until I seen him standing against Austin Towers. Okay, y'all know what I'm going to say. Go ahead and say it with me. Say it with me, y'all. Big motherfuckers doing big motherfucking shit. I love that this match started off technical. It showed that both men, even with their size and strength, were completely foundational and knew just what the hell they were doing. Big men get a horrible rep in wrestling because a lot of them are perceived to have a lack of technical skill. These two men, I think, showed that that simply was not true for every big man. I've spoken at length on this show about Austin Towers already, so let me talk about Ben Buchanan for a second. Being a second-generation performer, Ben Buchanan is everything you would want out of a generational wrestler. He's got the size and presence of a superstar, the lineage and legacy to make it just about anywhere he goes. I don't know what his plans are, but he can accomplish whatever he wants to because Ben Buchanan has it 100%. Austin Towers retains after a very solid showing from Ben Buchanan, and so ends Pro South's Fuck It, We Ain't Playing. An overall great show. Pro South really knows what they're doing and have their groove in this indie wrestling thing. So kudos to them on a fantastic show. I don't think that too many things are going to come out of this show with serious implications, but overall, it was still a great show. It was still a very great show. Kudos to them for another one. That is all that I got for you guys this week, man. Thank you so much for tuning in. I really hope you guys enjoyed it because I thoroughly enjoyed doing it. I love doing this show, man. I can't tell y'all. I look forward to this every single week. Be sure to follow the podcast, subscribe wherever you are currently listening to it. There should be a follow or subscribe button somewhere so you do not miss any episode of anything that I put out. This coming Wednesday, January 6th, part one of my interview with Brandon Whatley drops right here on this podcast stream. So that's why you got to follow to make sure you don't miss that. You don't want to miss anything me and Brandon talked about. Also, be sure to follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Mr. Jordan McClain. Let's keep the conversation going, talking about wrestling. I got some stuff I'm going to be announcing probably this month, maybe push it off to next month. I don't know for sure, but you do not want to miss those announcements. I think that's it, you guys. Man, I love you guys. Thank you so much for tuning in. Be sure to tune back in every single Sunday and every other Wednesday for a new interview. I'm Jordan McClain, and I'm out. Love y'all.